to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. I'm Ruby.
I'm Shaylock.
And together we are a father-daughter duo traveling through the mainline series of Pokemon games, the anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. Today we'll be covering 6 episodes of the anime, not 7, like Shaylock said last time.
Yeah, my bad. 7 is the next time we cover anime episodes.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be our last group of anime episodes before we can finally get back to the game.
Woohoo! I'm excited. The episodes we will be covering will be Season 5, Episode 3 through 8. But before we jump into that, let's catch up on what's been going on. I don't know, I've not been doing too much. How about you?
Yeah. Not a lot going on. Working and all that, of course. Took a couple kids to a birthday party. And recently got to do my first mystery dinner party. I wasn't hosting. My brother was. But it was a good time. Dressed all up for it. Some of the characters were misgendered. So, like, when we went in, we thought it didn't, like, matter one way or the other. So, it was like, alright. So, as a guy, I was playing a guy. But it turned out I was not. And it made for some very amusing situations. And I still have leftover marker on my fingernails from coloring them black for my costume. I think I got most of the eyeliner off, though. Besides that, you know, keeping up on Pokemon Go, having a lot of fun with that. I think there's an event today. I don't know what I have to do for it yet. That hasn't quite started. We're getting really close to being able to finally move to another gym in our Gold and Silver and Crystal, which I'm excited for. Very, 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 very excited for.
It'll be nice to do something new.
Yeah. Oh, and I haven't really been involved in it, but my wife and a lot of you guys have been working on building a big old playset we got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody gifted that to us, so that's being put together up in our yard, and it's pretty big. But it'll be a lot of fun for everybody once it's finished. I mean, it's already been a lot of fun, and it's not finished, so.
We can't really build much more at this point.
Yeah, there's a piece missing, so we're waiting for that to arrive.
Apparently we wanted to put sealant on the roof. I'm not sure if Mom's getting that or not.
Yeah.
Well, that all sounds great. Now let's jump into those episodes. Starting with episode 214, or season 5, episode 3. Taking it on the Chinchou, or Tabidate Umi e Chonchi Gaiodetsu, or Set Out to the Sea, Line of Chonchi.
Yeah, Chonchi must be Chinchou.
I'm guessing so.
And Umi is like the sea or beach or something like that, so.
And they use 3 exclamation points.
Woohoo! All right, so the gang is on a cable car on the Blue Island, and they wanted to get to Blue Finland to catch a ferry to Yellow Rock Isle to eventually get to Red Rock Isle, because that's where the whole competition is supposed to be. But the cable car announces they are about to arrive at Blue Lagoon instead. This is all because Ash thought the cable car would be a shortcut. But it's not. Then a Chinchou arrives. Misty is in love with it, so she plans to catch it. But the Pokeball bounces right off of it, just like that Meryl in that one episode, because this Chinchou already has a trainer. So that the trainer of the Chinchou shows up trying to catch his own Chinchou, because it keeps running away from him. Ash gets involved, and he gets electrocuted for his trouble. The kid, Dayton, suggests Ash and co. can come to the parade of the Chinchou since they're around. And then we see Team Rocket spying on the gang, and they're dressed up in their black Arachnid 2 costumes. That was fun to see those come back.
From where?
The Spinarak episode. The Black Arachnid. They were the Black Arachnid 2.
Oh, I see.
Jesse wants the Chinchou, of course. The gang chat with Professor Oak about island creations and how the Chinchou always lay their eggs high up on the island, and the Chinchou born there make their way back to the sea, and the townspeople always make sure they make it to their destination. This year, Dayton and his dad are supposed to head up the parade, and the gang are going to join along. The whole town makes quite the festival of it all, and the Chinchou are all called up from the water, and they all begin marching. But before they show up out of the water, they have this cool, like, they just start glowing underwater, because they light up those little tendrils on their heads. Dayton and his Chinchou, Bright, lead the way, with the dad taking up the rear. Eventually, they all make it to a bridge, and I was super excited to see it, because I thought, hey, maybe we'll finally get a broken bridge, since we didn't get one in the Pidgey episode. Then the Chin Chow get nervous to cross, but Dayton convinces them there is nothing to fear. But then, just as some of them get across with Ash and Dayton, Team Rocket is standing on some tall platform and give us an interesting intro.
Prepare for trouble from up on high.
Make it double. Now hear our cry. And they have new costumes, too, so they ditched the last ones they were wearing. They plan to take all the Chin Chow, and then Meowth presses a button to unleash the capture missile. He tells it to blast off, and when it doesn't, Jesse has to ask, why isn't it blasting off? So I think that's enough to bring us to a catching catchphrase. Ash tells Dayton to go back, and so he blows the whistle and brings most the Chin Chow back over along with Misty and Brock. Team Rocket keeps smacking the button until the missile finally launches. The net from the missile misses all the Chin Chow and it captures the bridge instead, causing it to detach, and so we do end up with a broken bridge that plunges down into the depths. A group of Chin Chow are still on the side that Ash, Dayton, and Bright are on, so Team Rocket is going to just settle for them, but a little thunder wave stops that from happening, and then Pikachu thunderbolts them, and Team Rocket is blasting off again!
Ding!
So Dayton and his father agree to split up and meet up at the sea. They don't need to worry about getting lost either, since the Chin Chow can lead the way, because they always find their way down there. Like, they instinctually know which way to go.
It's like salmon or whatever. They swim up river to have their babies. And the way they know how to get there is because they were hatched there as babies.
Pretty cool. Then there are a few barbs thrown out between Misty and Ash before they depart from each other. Like, getting after each other about always being hungry or Misty's temper problem. Just, you know, a lover's spat. As Ash and Dayton travel, Bright and the other Chin Chow get tired. It's getting late and Dayton had forgot to pour water on the Chin Chow to keep them going. So Ash has Totodile take care of things. Then, as they walk along a cliff, a part of it breaks and Dayton falls to his death. And then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia! This Pokemon uses its lips to examine things.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Dayton actually survived.
Shocker.
He must be a member of Team Rocket.
Ash has survived things he should... Oh, we already discussed him.
Dayton is beat up, though, and then rain starts pouring. It's hard to find Dayton, but the Chin Chow lead the way, and soon they are reunited. In the morning, it is really foggy, thanks to all the rain and stuff before. And then Ash, Dayton, and their group of Chin Chow make it to the beach, and the others are already there waiting. But then, a pit opens in the sand as the Chin Chow groups try to reunite. Team Rocket is back and are lifting up with a cage full of Chin Chow. They use wheezing to create a cloud of smoke that they fly above, making it difficult for Pikachu to hit them. Finally, Dayton has the Chin Chow use Thunder Wave again. The cage explodes and the Chin Chow rain down into the sea, and then Pikachu is able to zap Team Rocket, and with a lot more power from all the Chin Chow down below, Team Rocket is sent blasting off again!
Ding!
Then Dayton has a heartfelt farewell with Bright as it goes off with the other Chin Chow into the sea. And then we see Team Rocket floating on their backs in the water, and the Chin Chow arrive and shock them again. Ash and Co. are on a ferry waving farewell to Dayton and his dad, and there is a Corsola sitting right there at the end of the pier. Misty lunges for it, and babysitting Brock shows up with Ash's help to keep Misty back on the ferry. So we had a Brock babysitting Misty again.
Okay, well, our Who's That Pokemon? It's Smoochum. And our tallies are Interesting Intro, Catching Catchphrase, Broken Bridge, and Babysitting Brock. Now let's rank the episode.
All right, so far all we have is Fly Me to the Moon, which is the Bidgey one, and Around the Whirlpool, which started this whole adventure to the Whirl Islands, which had a lot of fun things of rockin' reunions and such. So this one's kind of an easy one for me. It is taking the current last place, number 3.
Oh.
I mean, it was a fun episode. There's nothing really wrong with it, but it wasn't better than the other two.
That's fair. Definitely not better than the first one.
For sure.
Well, now that we're done with that very fast ranking, let's move on to episode 215, or season 5, episode 4, A Corsola Caper, or Sanigo de Amigo o Ganto no Taiketsu, or Sunny Gull, the Amigo Showdown on Yellow Rock Isle. And they're keeping strong with 3 exclamation points.
Sunny Gull, that must be Corsola, probably? And Amigo, I mean, I think it was just the Spanish word for friend. So the gang reach Yellow Rock Isle, and as they walk through town, they find a shop with a lot of souvenirs made from Corsola horns, or, you know, Omiyage. Corsola shed their horns, often apparently, and so they use them to make the souvenirs. Misty becomes even more determined to get a Corsola. The shop owner mentions the islanders like yellow Pokemon when he sees Pikachu, and so Misty thinks she could maybe show hers off, and so we get a Psyduck sighting as he pops out on his own. And then Psyduck goes wandering off down an alley, and Misty follows him to a beach. There, Psyduck freaks out and points out that a house is floating away on the sea, and there is a Corsola and a young girl there calling out for help. Good job, Psyduck. Like, it's like, it was almost like he popped out because he caught on to a mental distress signal.
Well, maybe. He's got, like, psychic powers.
Exactly. The gang steals a boat and drives it into a whirlpool to try and save the house that starts breaking apart. Ash has Bulbasaur and Bayleaf vine whip and grip the house, and they drive it back to shore. There, the girl, Mika, is safe, and her older sister and father are there thanking the gang. When the sister asks what they can do to thank them, Brock zooms in and flirts, and so Misty is back to babysitting Brock and dragging him off by the ear. They learn the family lives on top of a Corsola nest. Mika's dad makes a lot of the Corsola horn objects. Misty admires the Corsola they have, and they explain that it is different than any of the others in the area, and it just showed up one day on its own. It is very energetic and kept tackling all the other Corsola, which caused all of them in the nest to leave. And that's why the nest broke apart, since there was no more Corsola there, and that's how Mika washed away in the house. The little Corsola tried to save it on its own, but it wasn't strong enough. The Corsola then tackles Psyduck. Misty only seems to be focused on learning the Corsola is wild, and so she can move in to capture it. But before that can happen, babysitting Brock pulls Misty back by her ear, as this isn't the time and place. Mika and her family really need their Corsola back, and so the gang offers to help. Team Rocket is sneaking into a building, and they realize it is their 500th heist. They find a lot of Corsola jewelry and start packing it away, but then the shop owner finds them and chases them down, and Team Rocket run right into Ash and Company. Jesse starts the motto, but Meowth is quick to put a stop to it with an irritating interruption. This ain't the time for spouting off the motto.
Did you figure anything out for why they said it was their 500th heist?
I did not, actually. I think they just pulled that number out of nowhere because they were doing bad deeds before we met them. Like, there was even a wanted poster for them, I think, well, in that first episode that they showed up.
Yeah, we knew they were bad and already part Team Rocket, but...
So yeah, there was no trivia about that specifically. I don't know why that came up. So then Mika's dad recognizes the jewelry he made in Team Rocket's possession. Then Corsola shoots forward and knocks Jesse down. Then James sends in Victor Bell, and we get a distracted Pokemon as it eats James. There's a fun battle that ends with Staryu and Totodile water gunning Team Rocket and sending them blasting off again! Ding! After cleaning up, they all go back to looking for the lost Corsola, and finally, the wild Corsola finds one, and it tries to run. Every time they find some of the Corsola, it's the little wild Corsola that finds them, and they get nervous and want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But the little Corsola is just super excited. Now that Mika's family found one of their missing ones, Misty thinks that this is the moment to capture the wild Corsola, and babysitting Brock grabs her ear again. They still gotta find the others. After finding another one and learning that the wild Corsola was just trying to play when it roughed up all the others, we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon is usually found near power plants. As the gang gather more and more Corsola, Team Rocket is spying on them. They are planning on getting a bunch of Corsola, and so Meowth launches into another boss fantasy about how they will be rewarded with raises. Finally, all the missing Corsola are rounded up. They're all family again, and so Misty is ready to make the wild Pokemon part of her family. But then a bunch of cords fire out and wrap around all the Corsola. Misty kicks away the ones that were about to wrap around the wild Corsola, and Team Rocket horns in with another interesting intro.
Prepare for trouble, give us the horns and all.
Make it double. We're in for the haul. They pull up a bunch of Corsola, and a battle ensues. Team Rocket is going to get away, but Noctowl fights through the smoke screen of wheezing and pops the balloon. And then the wild Corsola attacks Jesse again. Staryu cuts the cables, and James sends out Victory Bell again. And it eats James again in another distracted Pokemon moment. During the battle, wild Corsola gets hurt, but then uses Recover and heals. Then all the Corsola work together and send attacks at Team Rocket, who hide in their balloon basket, and it explodes! As they're flying off, Meowth uses a catching catchphrase and asks how many times they think they've blasted off. James guesses 500, and they shout, "Happy anniversary!" as they fly off and... ding! Ding. And we'll count that as another off again. Then Misty has a showdown with the wild Corsola, and it is a step for her to become a water Pokemon master. She sends in Poliwhirl, and after the battle, Misty catches Corsola. Gotta catch 'em all. And then they head off again.
And who's that Pokemon? It's Electabuzz! And for our tallies, we've got...
a bunch.
We've got Psyduck Sighting, 3 Babysitting Rocks, an Irritating Interruption, 2 Distracted Pokemon, a Boss Fantasy, an Interesting Intro, a Catching Catchphrase, an Off Again, and a Gotta Catch 'em All.
Nice.
But now we must rank it. I thought it was a decently fun episode. I feel like it's probably better than the last one. What do you think?
Yeah, I liked it better than the last one, I think. There was a lot of fun stuff, especially with all the tallies.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's probably a good place to put it?
Probably.
All right. Now, let's do episode 216, or season 5, episode 5. Mantine Overboard, or Mantine. To Jinbotsu San, Nazo no Pokemon no Himitsu, or Mantine and the Sunken Ship. The Secret of the Mysterious Pokemon. And they're staying strong. 3 exclamation points.
They're rocking it. The gang is rushing to catch the ferry that will take them to Red Rock Isle, but it seems they are going to be late thanks to Ash needing to eat. So after they miss it, they find out that there won't be another ferry until the next day. Then a girl named Luca shows up, and Brock starts flirting right away. Apparently, she is studying the Pokemon that inhabit those waters. Misty jumps in to babysitting Brock with an ear pull. Luca offers to give the gang a lift in her boat to get to Red Rock Isle, because it's apparently on her way to where she studies. Then we get a return of the Magikarp sub for Team Rocket as they spy on the gang. While the gang are riding on the boat, they find that Luca has a lot of diving gear. There is also a map they find that has an X mark on it, and they assume it must be a treasure map. Luca explains that it isn't exactly, but kind of. She explains that her family has explored those seas, studying Pokemon for 3 generations. One day, she found her great-grandfather's journal and that map in the attic. According to the journal, after years of searching, her great-grandfather had finally found an object called the Silver Wing, which is a thing, I think, that's from the game and is linked to Lugia. I also think it might be found on the Whirl Islands, which we can't access yet in the games, but... once we do the 7th gym.
Well, we could access them if we had just done the 7th gym.
When the gang ask about the Silver Wing, all Luca knows is that it is supposedly a clue that leads to a mysterious Pokemon, which the gang have been interested in since seeing one go under them in the water back in the first episode of this season. Or over them, and it was just a shadow. I don't know. The Silver Wing supposedly was lost with the ship when it was caught in a whirlpool, and no one believed that he ever had it, and so he kept looking for it. Now Luca has been working toward that goal and believes she found the location of the ship, and so that's the mark on the map. The gang decide they want to join Luca on that diving for the sunken treasure, and she agrees. Team Rocket has been listening in to all of this, and they decide they'll have the twerps and Luca get the treasure, and then they'll steal it from them. Luca has a few Magikarp that seem to work like those diving propeller devices, which I thought was cool. I'm not really sure what they're called, but... where you just hold on to it while you're in the water and it has like a fan so it kind of pushes you, like it helps pull you through the water or whatever.
Yeah, because you naturally float to the top.
Yeah, something like that. So Ash and Luca dive in and use the Magikarp to get down into the water and toward the sunken ship. The Magikarp are also able to act like scouts And so they send them away while they're Ash and Luca are hiding behind a rock. And they find a Mantine near the ship, and it scares the Magikarp back. Apparently, it is guarding the ship. So back up on the boat, they make a plan just to distract the Mantine so Luca can get in and get the Silver Wing. And then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon has an IQ of 5,000. Very smart. Luca and Ash go back in, but this time with Pikachu in his own diving gear and oxygen tank. The distraction works and Luca gets inside, but there she finds something else. Apparently there are Remoraid also protecting the treasure, which is fun since Remoraid work with Mantine in the lore of the game as well. We even see Remoraid in the picture for Mantine. Remember? It's in its wing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, our final shot of the Mantine as Ash and Luca leave again is a Remoraid hanging out just under the wing of the Mantine. Team Rocket is disgusted that Luca and Ash didn't get the treasure that they are waiting to steal. So then, Team Rocket decides they're going to try and capture the Mantine. Back on the boat, Misty and Ash decide they'll use their water Pokemon to help out. Ash calls out Totodile, and Misty only calls out Staryu and her new Corsola. And then we get a Psyduck sighting as Psyduck pops out into the water as well, and then panics. When Ash, Misty, and Luca go back down, they find two Remoraid and the Mantine battling the Magikarp sub by the ship. So they decide that it is their chance to get into the ship and find the wing. Inside a part of the ship, they find a ton of baby Remoraid huddled together. They figure that the two Remoraid outside must be the parents, and they were protecting their young. But they still don't know why the Mantine is guarding the boat. Team Rocket are finally free of their problem, and so they crash the Magikarp sub into the ship, and the shaking scares off the baby Remoraid, which reveals they were huddled around a chest. So then Ash, Misty, and Luca come out and find the Magikarp sub wedged into the ship, and Team Rocket displays a projected film of their motto that starts with an interesting intro.
Lights, camera, and prepare for trouble.
Like the feature? We'll make it double. Team Rocket steals the chest, and so the gang chase them down, but Jesse still wants the Mantine. Of course, that was a mistake, and it just lets the gang catch up, and the Remoraid help the Mantine. Luca learns that Remoraid helped protect the Mantine, and the Mantine then helped the Remoraid protect its family. So they have a symbiotic relationship kind of thing. Team Rocket give up on the Mantine and try to escape, but the gang follow. Then Pikachu zaps the sub and it explodes, sending Team Rocket out of the water and splashing off again.
Ding!
Luca ends up with the chest and finds the Silver Wing inside. And so Luca finishes taking the gang to Red Rock, where the World Cup competition is being held.
And our Who's That Pokemon for this episode? It's Alakazam! And our tallies are Babysitting Brock, Psyduck Sighting, Interesting Intro, and Off Again. Now let's rank it.
Alright. I don't think this is better than Corsola Caper, with all the fun tallies and a lot of Babysitting Brock on Misty. But I do think it's better than taking it on the Chinchou.
Sounds good.
I like this whole sunken treasure and the attempts to try to get this thing, and yeah, I don't know. It was enjoyable, and it had the Silver Wing, which is a thing that's from the game, I believe, so that was exciting. So that is now our current number 4 out of 5. So easy to rank them when there's so few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, we get to start over like 30 times for each season.
Yes.
Alright, now let's do episode 217, or season 5, episode 6, Octillery the Outcast, or Akutanto Tepo Uzumaki Kapu Yosen, or Akutank and Tepo Whirlpool Cup Preliminaries. And they had 3 exclamation points, still staying strong. It's gonna be so sad when they break it.
The world islands are your friend on the exclamation points. So the gang arrive at Red Rock, and both Ash and Misty are confident on getting the championship. The two go to register for the preliminaries, and so it seems we're getting started with the World Cup already. That was faster than anticipated, but also makes sense since there's still 3 more badges to earn and a Johto League to get through in this one season. Team Rocket spies on the gang and they decide to steal a bunch of the water Pokemon and open a park for water Pokemon and earn a fortune. Once Ash and Misty get to the Nurse Joy desk to register, Brock starts flirting and Misty whacks him away to do some more babysitting Brock. Apparently, the preliminaries are held in different stadiums and they learn they need to win 2 matches to make it to the finals. Then the gang is confronted by a kid who needs help and wants them to battle his Remoraid. He needs to evolve it into an Octillery for the World Cup, so Misty accepts so she can also train her Corsola, since she hasn't had a chance to do that yet. The two battle, and the kid wins, and boom! Evolution! Now the kid has the Octillery he wanted. Misty and Ash are rooting for one another for the prelims because they want to face each other in the finals.
And I keep talking about how that's just so stupid that they're gonna make it so that they happen to be on opposite sides and happen to beat all their battles and happen to be in the finals together.
Right. And you and I both agreed at this point. We're like, and we want Misty to win.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want Ash to win this.
Mm-mm.
I know Ash has beaten her like twice before, I think, but maybe 2 or 3 times. But this is a full-on water Pokemon battle, so Misty should be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Ash uses Totodile and battles an opponent with a Seal. Ash and his Pokemon win. Meanwhile, Misty uses Poliwhirl against a Magikarp. Who brought a Magikarp to this thing? So Misty obviously wins. Ash wins another match against Shellder, and Misty uses Corsola to defeat a Sea King. Both Ash and Misty get to move on to the main tournament. Then Marcellus, the Octillery kid, walks by depressed. Ash figures he must have lost already. Turns out he did, and he feels like he'll never win after that match. But then he invites the gang over for dinner. There they find he has an aquarium full of Remoraid, and Ash has never seen so many. Did he just see a ton last episode?
And the Remoraid aren't moving. Like, they're just frozen. Like, the anime didn't make it so that the Remoraid are swimming around or anything. They're just frozen.
They swim around sometimes. Some of the scenes, we see them moving. Yeah, they definitely move in the episode. They're not frozen. They just didn't animate them moving most of the time.
Almost the whole time.
Anytime they're just background. So then Marcellus reveals that the rest of the Remoraid are no longer friends with the evolved Octillery. It is guessed that they probably don't recognize it since they didn't see it evolve. And it used to be the leader of the Remoraid, but now they push it away. Because he was so lonely and sad, that's why Octillery didn't perform well in the match that day and why Marcellus lost. So Misty gets a great idea to have Ash dress as an Octillery to try and help by becoming friends with the real Octillery. The Octillery is not impressed. And then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon is the final evolution of Hoppip. Team Rocket sneaks into Marcellus's house to do some stealing. They vacuum up all the Remoraid from the tank, and Octillery witnesses it. The gang are downstairs eating, and they hear a noise, so they go check on the Remoraid and find Team Rocket. The kid turns on the light and asks if everything is fine, which gains him an interesting intro as a response.
Yes, everything is fine, but prepare for trouble.
Things couldn't be better, so you can make it double. And we get a Wobbuffet irritating interruption. Team Rocket flees with their truck full of Remoraid. Octillery hitches a ride on the back and leaves a puddle trail so that Ash and Co. can follow after getting smoked out by Weezing. Team Rocket make it to the docks and are going to start loading the Remoraid onto a boat, but Meowth gets attacked by Octillery. Then, when they try to take him, he starts attacking James and Jesse. The other Remoraid are staring in awe, and Octillery seems to be trying to communicate something to them. Octillery then breaks the glass and frees the Remoraid, and so they all jump into the sea. When the gang show up, Pikachu goes to zap Team Rocket, but they grab Octillery so that it would get zapped too. So this makes Pikachu hold off, but then the Remoraid show back up and start blasting, which frees Octillery, who gets saved from a nasty fall by the Remoraid. Then Pikachu can do some zapping, and Octillery helps with some kind of move that I didn't know, and Team Rocket is blasting off again!
Ding!
Then all the Remoraid evolve into Octillery in a second evolution. So after all that's done, Ash, Marcellus, Misty, Brock all go to look at the cool stadium that's used for the finals of the World Cup.
Our Who's That Pokemon? It's Jumpluff. And our tallies are 1 babysitting Brock, 2 evolutions, 1 interesting intro, and 1 irritating interruption. Now let's rank it. Well, it was pretty good. I'm glad that we got into the World Cup already.
For sure.
The very little moving Remoraid were weird.
It was really funny, too, when they're all stare in awe. Like, they have their mouths open and they're all pointed at the glass. So, like, they were all frozen, like, sideways for a while because they were, quote-unquote, swimming around in the tank. But then they're all, like, facing the outside and almost creepy looking.
Yeah, because they moved and we didn't see them move. It was just a bump.
Yes, it was like the weeping angels.
Ooh, I think it was probably better than taking it on the Chin Chow.
I'm in agreement there.
It's the next one. Mantine Overboard? Maybe better than that? I don't know if I liked it more or less than a Corsola Caper. What do you think?
I definitely liked it less than Corsola Caper.
Do you think you liked it more than Mantine Overboard?
I didn't, but if you did, that's fine. I mean, they're fairly even. I liked the plot of
Mantine. I did like the pirate ship and stuff. I do like those. So I think we'll put it under Mantine Overboard.
Alrighty. Then that makes Octillery the Outcast number 5 out of 6.
Alright. Now, episode 218, or season 5, episode 7. Dueling Heroes, or Uzumaki Kapu Mizu no Koroshiyamu Dai Datoru, or Whirlpool Cup, a big battle in the water, Coliseum.
Weird break in there, but that's okay.
And they had 3 exclamation points.
Woohoo!
Also, I'm gonna go out on a limb here, but I'm pretty sure Mizu is water.
And that means Koroshiyamu is Coliseum. Because we know Batoru is battle, so Dai Batoru is probably big battle. Alright. These 2 episodes are actually gonna go pretty quick, because they're big battle episodes, so there's not a whole lot to actually have to cover, because I don't need to go into all the in-depth parts of the battle. And we're also going to have another shocking twist for this particular episode, but stay with me. Okay, it's not going to be that exciting, so don't get your hopes up. We start off with an opening ceremony, and Maya, the sea priestess, oversees the event. Brock is in love, of course, and he looks amusing as he is in the stands holding Pikachu and Togepi as he was tasked with their care while Ash and Misty use water Pokemon through the World Cup. The priestess holds a staff that has a large orb at the end, and it is called a sea spirit. Supposedly it, like, helps everybody understand their water Pokemon or something, I don't know. Team Rocket are vendors for the event, surprise, surprise, and spy the sea spirit and decide to steal it. Now, there's going to be a whole theme here with the whole sea spirit. They're going to steal it for the next 2 episodes, and some of the Rocket, like James and Meowth, start to, like, lose interest in it because Jessie doesn't even want to sell it. She just wants it because it's pretty and she's pretty. The competitors learn that whoever wins the title of Water Pokemon Alpha Omega also gains a Mystic Water Pendant, which increases the power of Water Pokemon attacks. And so I had to wonder if this is another item from the game. I didn't look into it to make sure, but I mean, we have Charcoal, and I know I got some kind of, I think it's a seed or something for grass Pokemon moves. Like, there's definitely items in the game that make certain types of moves stronger. So this is, works like that, even if this specific item isn't in the game. I'm sure there is a water one in the game for a Pokemon to hold and increase their water attacks. Now Misty and Ash are getting feisty with one another on which of them will get that pendant. Because now there's like, hey, I want that. No, I'm going to win it. Then Ash is reminded he only has 1 water Pokemon with him. So he contacts Oak to have Kingler sent to him, and in return, he sends Bayleaf to Oak. Bayleaf, when she pops out and finds Ash isn't there, is not pleased.
It's so sad.
She freaks out. Ash and his opponent step out to battle, and Misty is confident in Ash winning this. Totodile ends up battling a Kingdra. The battle ends when Kingdra goes for a hydro pump, but Totodile latches onto its snout, and all the water builds up inside and sends Kingdra flying away.
One of the tactics the kid tried to use, psyching Totodile out as he stayed underwater, but Totodile looked down, didn't see him coming, so he got bored, and then just started dancing.
Yeah, he was supposed to get freaked out, and he never did.
I mean, maybe almost for a second, but then he's like, this is boring.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll dance.
Yeah, Totodile's great. So Ash wins. Team Rocket keep getting caught up in selling stuff, and they're getting exhausted, so they're going to go for the Sea Spirit. Until their boss as far as the concessions go, not Giovanni. So their boss there tells them break time is over, and they need to feed people at the main gate, and all the cotton candy they can eat, which convinces them. Then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon uses its hand-like tail to grab things. The next day, Misty has her first match of the finals, and she sends in Corsola against Quillfish. Team Rocket have finally snuck into the area with the Priestess so they can steal the Sea Spirit. When they go to grab it, the Priestess moved the staff at just the wrong time for Team Rocket, and Officer Jenny has to move them along since they aren't allowed up there. Corsola gets beaten up pretty bad, but after a recover and a spike cannon, Corsola defeats Quillfish, and Misty wins! Team Rocket are still planning to get the Sea Spirit, but they need a new plan. Then, just like in the Indigo League, we learn that Ash has to battle someone he knows in his next match, and someone he considers to be a friend. That's right. It is a battle between Ash and Misty. And we had no motto whatsoever, no blasting off at all, and we don't have a single thing to tally.
Yep, our Who's That Pokemon hits Apom! And our tallies are nothing for interesting intro, nothing for blasting off again.
We have nothing. It's all big, fat nothing.
Oh, yes. Got that. All right.
That was the twist, by the way.
That we had nothing to tally?
I told you it wasn't exciting.
I thought you were talking about the twist was Ash and Misty.
No, that was to be expected.
Having to face off before the finals?
Well, maybe not before the finals, I guess, but I'm glad that they aren't doing that trope.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad they don't have to face off before the I'm glad they do have to face off before the finals. But yeah, I thought you were talking about that was the big twist. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, obviously they were going to have to face off at some point.
Well, it just flowed just like the whole Richie situation.
Mm.
Yeah, because he made friends with Richie and then, ba-boom, that was his next match.
All right. Well, now let's rank it.
All right, Dueling Heroes. It was an exciting episode. Like, I don't know why I didn't have to say a lot, because I wasn't going to describe the battles for you, but it was a lot of fun. I'm having trouble deciding if I liked it better than Corsola or Mantine, though.
I thought Totodile's scene alone was hilarious.
I mean, right? I don't know. Do you think it goes above a Corsola caper?
Probably, yeah. Okay.
What about Around the Whirlpool, the first episode of the season? Where they got knocked off the boat by Team Rocket, they saw the shadow of Lugia, and they get sucked into the whirlpool, then they're rescued by Professor Elm, basically, and then they learn about the cup.
That's a tough one. I don't know. You're going to have to decide that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I don't know if it beats the Pidgey episode, though.
No, I don't think.
All right, so that makes Dueling Heroes our new number 2 out of 7.
All right, now episode 219. Or Season 5, Episode 8, The Perfect Match. Or Satoshi Taikasumi Uzumaki Kapu Saigo no Tatakai.
Satoshi Taikasumi?
Wait, what?
That's Satoshi versus Kasumi. We've had Tai people before. And we know who Satoshi and Kasumi are.
Or Satoshi versus Kasumi, the final battle in the Whirlpool Cup. And they did 3 exclamation points.
Nice. And this is our final episode that we're covering this week. So, because it is the final battle. Although the title's misleading, because Satoshi versus Kasumi is not the final battle in the Whirlpool Cup. While Misty and Ash get ready to battle, the Priestess and Officer Jenny discuss that a mysterious caller has vowed to steal the Sea Spirit. Team Rocket is spying, and Jesse thinks she has outdone herself with that mysterious call because it is making those around the Sea Spirit nervous. Meowth thinks they should have stuck to selling hot dogs, and James wonders about stealing it since they are warned now. Like, wouldn't it be stupid to warn them and then try to steal it? But Jesse explains that the guards will be too busy looking for someone coming to even think that the attack will come from above.
I don't get that.
But somehow it works for Meowth and James. They're like, yep, no, that makes sense. This is a bad plan. So the battle rules now declare that both trainers get two Pokemon for their battles. The first Pokemon out are Totodile and Poliwhirl when Ash and Misty step up to battle each other. Totodile goes down, and so now Ash has to bring out Kingler.
Cookie, cookie.
Poliwrath goes down quick when up against Kingler, because Kingler kept using this crab hammer move that looked really cool. So Misty is sure Corsola will get her back in the game. She winds up to throw the ball and she says, go, but a blast of light from her bag brings us a Psyduck sighting as he throws himself into the battle. And Psyduck starts to drown again, but he quickly gets onto a platform. And I thought this was a fantastic use of Psyduck sighting stuff. So Ash goes in for the kill with Kingler. Psyduck is scared, and then Psyduck's head is caught in the pincer, which means Psyduck gets a headache. Uh-oh. And then Kingler is defeated by a blast of confusion from Psyduck. Misty wins! And I was super excited. I'm like, yes, Misty gets to beat Ash.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to necessarily win the tournament because she's not as trained or anything, but she had to beat Ash.
Nope. And then Professor looks pretty roughed up when they chat with him, and he gets knocked out of frame by a tearful Bayleaf, who's crying out to Ash. It's decided that it would be best to swap Kingler and Bayleaf back. Then a woman shows up, and Brock is smitten and said that she won her battle that day flawlessly. So he obviously had watched her battle as well. Her name is Trinity, and she is apparently Misty's next opponent. Then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon's tail is filled with oil. The next day, Misty and Trinity step up to battle. Turns out it is Poliwhirl versus Gyarados. And Misty's a little nervous about that. Poliwhirl is taken out pretty quick by a Hyper Beam, so Misty moves on to Corsola. After a tough fight, Gyarados goes down. Then Trinity brings in Chinchou, and Misty ends up losing this battle. She puts up a good fight, though. There's a point where Corsola even does recover and everything, but in the end, Chinchou wins. And that's it for the gang! Back at the Pokemon Center, Trinity congratulates Misty, and they're confident Trinity will win her next battle. The next day, she uses a Golduck against a Feraligatr, and then a Team Rocket balloon shows up, and they have fishing poles to try to capture the Sea Spirit. Pikachu jumps in and zaps their fishing line. Officer Jenny says it must have been Team Rocket that made the threatening phone call, and Jess admits it in her interesting intro.
That's right, we warned you to prepare for trouble.
And then we decided to make it double. Misty and Ash bring in Poliwhirl and Totodile, and Feraligatr and Trinity's Golduck all join in to do Water Gun to push Team Rocket away. And then Pikachu sends in a Thunderbolt, and Team Rocket blasts it off again! Boom! No ding.
Oh.
They might be dead this time, for good.
Yeah, right.
Then Brock flirts with the Priestess, and Misty pulls his ear, babysitting Brock again. We don't see how Trinity's battle goes, but she must have won it and lost in the final match, because at the very end, when they're giving the awards and stuff, some guy is the one who wins the pendant, and she is standing next to him, likely meaning that she must have gotten second place. And that concludes the World Cup and also our coverage this week.
Who's that Pokemon? It's Meryl.
Meryl, Meryl.
Tallies, Psyduck sighting, interesting intro, and babysitting Brock.
So not a lot of tallies this time, but at least we got some.
Now we must rank it. Well, let's see. I think I liked Around the Whirlpool better than this.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
I just thought it would have been in the same ranking area as Dueling Heroes. That's a very similar episode.
Oh, I guess it was. I was like, but Misty lost, but she did put up a good fight.
And she beat Ash.
Oh, there's that. Okay, maybe right under Dueling Heroes.
All right, so then that makes the perfect match number 3 out of 8. So, because we only have a few, I will go over the whole list. Number 8 is Taking It on the Chinchou. 7 is Octillery the Outcast. Then Mantine Overboard. A Corsola Caper. Around the Whirlpool. The Perfect Match. Dueling Heroes. And number 1 is Fly Me to the Moon.
It stayed at the best one.
So far. So our updated tallies, we went with Babysitting Brock at 0 all the way up to 7. in these 6 episodes. We also got a boss fantasy, so 0 to 1. Broken Bridges went from 0 to 1. Catching Catchphrase went up from 0 to 2. Distracted Pokemon went from a previous of 1 to 3. Evolution, 0 to 2. Gotta Catch 'Em All, 0 to 1. Interesting Intro. We had 3 before and we added 5, so we're at 8.
Same amount of episodes.
Correct. Irritating Interruption, we doubled. We had 2 before, now we're at 4. Off Again, we had 0, and we're now at 2. And Psyduck Sighting, in the first 8 episodes, we already are at 4, starting with only 1 in the first episode, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot better than we were doing previously, so this is good.
Yes, it is.
It's nice to see a lot of Psyduck again. And if you want, like, the full lists going forward, I post them after any of these episodes that we do where we add to them on our Facebook group, Routes Through Pokemon.
All right. Now we are going to pick our favorite Pokemon. It's where we pick a Pokemon that we think was used well or...
brought a particular amount of joy, I guess, as far as, like, Quagsire was concerned.
All right. I think I have mine.
I thought I did, and then I realized I had a different one, and now I have mine.
Oh, okay. Well, 3, 2, 1.
Corsola. Psyduck.
Oh, he did pop out a bunch.
Corsola was my original plan, because Corsola was quite featured and did a lot of cool things, but Psyduck, man, especially when he got to do his confusion headache thing again, oh, man.
That's true. I don't think about it that hard, otherwise I can't decide.
Yeah, and Corsola's a good choice. Like I said, it was about what I was going to do, and then I realized, wait a second, we got like 3 Psyduck sightings, and he got to win a battle, and that was awesome.
But now, since we've covered all the episodes, it's time for Pokemon cards!
Woohoo!
So we're both opening Scarlet and Violet Prismatic Evolutions, which is the EV packs. Mine has a Glaceon and Leafeon on the package.
And I took the Johto ones, Umbreon and Espeon.
And I believe it is your turn to...
I'll go first.
Yeah, it's your turn to go first.
I have Pupitar, evolves from Larvitar, fighting type. Bronzor, metal type. Aromatisse, evolves from Spritzy, psychic type. Eevee, colorless type. Ability, boosted evolution. As long as this Pokemon is in the active spot, it can evolve during your first turn or the turn you play it. And I just realized I wasn't reading my things. So backing up a little. Alright, Pupitar. Its shell is as hard as bedrock, and it is also very strong. Its thrashing can topple a mountain. Bronzor. They are found in ancient tombs. The patterns on their backs are said to be imbued with mysterious power. Aromatisse. The scent that constantly emits from its fur is so powerful that this Pokemon's companions will eventually lose their sense of smell. And Eevee? Its genetic code is irregular. It may mutate if it is exposed to radiation from element stones. Then I have supporter trainer card Briar. Pretty sure I've had this before, so I'm not going to read that one. Slowking evolves from Slowpoke, water type. It has incredible intellect and intuition. Whatever the situation, it remains calm and collected. As we saw the Slowking did in Pokemon 2000. The world was ending and he still seemed pretty calm. Pokemon Tool Trainer card, Binding Mochi. I know we've had that before. My Reverse Holo Whimsicott evolves from Cottonee, grass type. Ability, Wafting Heal. When you play this Pokemon from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon during your turn, you may heal all damage from your active grass Pokemon. If you healed any damage in this way, discard all energy from that Pokemon. It scatters cotton all over the place as a prank. If it gets wet, it'll become too heavy to move and have no choice but to answer for its mischief. My other reverse holo is a supporter trainer card, Professor Sada's Vitality. Another card I know we've gotten, an ancient card. Ooh! And my 2-star rare card is Wellspring Mask Ogerpon EX, water type. So I got a different kind of Ogerpon.
Cool!
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Maybe I've got a better one. Probably not.
Oh, and then I got a basic fighting guard energy.
All right. My first card is a supporter trainer, Professor's Research. Discard your hand and draw 7 cards. It's Professor Rowan. Then I got a pincer, grass type. These Pokemon judge one another based on pincers. Thicker, more impressive pincers make for more popularity with the opposite gender. Supporter trainer, black belts training. During this turn, attacks used by your Pokemon do 40 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon EX before applying weakness and resistance. Badoo, grass type. The pollen it releases contains poison. If this Pokemon is raised on clean water, the poison's toxicity is increased. Regigigas, colorless. It is said to have made Pokemon that look like itself from a special ice mountain, rocks, and magma. Supporter trainer, Carmine. I know we've gotten this one before. At least I have.
Yep.
Great Tusk, fighting, ancient. Reverse Holo. Evolves from Hoot Hoot, Noct Owl.
Ooh.
Colorless. Ability, Jewel Seeker. Once during your turn, when you play this Pokemon from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon, if you have any Terra Pokemon in play, you may search your deck for up to 2 trainer cards, reveal them, and put them into your hand, then shuffle your deck. Oh, it's a rare. Its extremely soft wings make no sound in flight. It silently sneaks up on prey without being detected. Next reverse holo is Pyroar, evolves from Litleo, fire type. The mane of a male Pyroar heats up to over 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit during battle. Merely approaching it will cause severe burns. Unless you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ooh. Noivern EX evolves from Noibat.
Oh, that's cool.
Colorless, 2-star. It's faint. Then a steel energy type.
We got some good stuff this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were some really cool cards, and Shaylock will post pictures of them on our Facebook page and Instagram account and X. Well, that concludes our episode for today. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunter Field Institute production. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and other podcasting platforms. So go ahead, like, subscribe, rate, and review. We also are on YouTube at the Hunter Field Institute channel. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist and feel free to leave comments. If you want to get in touch, you can also email us at HunterfieldManor@gmail.com. You can also connect with us through Routes Through Pokemon Facebook page. Then Shaylock is on X at Hunterfield Inns and Instagram at Kinetic_card. And so next week we will be doing another detour where we will be catching up on where our crystal players are at. And Silver. Right. We've got someone playing Silver.
It seems like Flame might have already caught up to us, and I think Rosella's almost there as well. Flame, extra so, because he took the route that you wanted to.
Great.
So he's technically ahead of us.
But we probably won't be talking as much about that gym yet.
No, but we'll be catching up. We'll get his thoughts on some of the stuff.
And we will also be covering the first half of Volume 11 of the Pokemon Adventures manga. And then the week after that, we will be covering 7 episodes of the anime, which will finally lead us to the Olivine Gym. Then we can get back to our video games! So, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next round.
Bye-bye! Sayonara! Part 36, Poison and Peril.
Mizu? Mizu?
Panic gripped Violet's heart. The eyes of her horsey seemed to stare at nothing, and its skin was pale. The Pokemon looked like it was dying.
Mizu, what's wrong?
When her horsey didn't give any kind of response, Violet began to run. She needed to get to the Pokemon Center before it was too late. As she reached some stone steps, there was a flash of light blinding her momentarily, and her foot missed its target, sending the girl tumbling forward. She scraped her knees on the path at the bottom of the three steps, but she had managed to keep Mizu safe through it. There was another flash of light, and then another, and Violet looked for the source. It was a hazard light for a large container being moved through the streets. Violet didn't even take the time to brush herself off once she got to her feet and started to run again. Her gait was a little more awkward as the fall aggravated her wounded ankle. Barging into the Pokemon Center, Violet called out for a nurse as she hurried toward the counter.
What seems to be... Mizu, she's di- I think my Pokemon is dying!
The nurse looked startled and took a look at the pale Pokemon.
Oh dear, let me see.
Then the woman's face relaxed a little.
Ah, I see. It will be okay. Your Pokemon won't die. Really?
Violet looked up hopefully.
Really? Just place the Pokemon in its Pokeball, and your horsey will soon be back in tip-top shape.
Still shaking a little, Violet brought out Mizu's Pokeball and returned it.
What is wrong with... Just a little poisoned. I'm guessing it must have just been in a battle with another Pokemon. Is that right? Oh, yeah.
Violet felt a little foolish all of a sudden. Of course it was just poisoned. She had never seen the effect on a Pokemon before, but she had read all about it in her studies.
Why don't you go up to your room and get some rest while we take care of your horsey? I can see your ankle is still bothering you.
Violet nodded.
Yeah, okay, thanks. My pleasure.
The nurse assured her. Then she took the Pokeball and went to work. Back at the room, Violet went to open the door, only to find the door was ajar. She didn't recall being in a hurry when she left, so it seemed odd that she wouldn't have shut it. Then she realized that she had just encountered members of the Rocket Gang, and so that meant they were in town, and if that was true... Her heart started to beat faster, and she stepped back away from the door.
They must have come looking for me,
Violet thought. She wondered if they were still in there, just waiting for her. Not sure where to go, Violet continued backing up until she hit the wall at the opposite side of the hall. That snapped her out of staring at the door, and she decided her first step was to get to where there were other people. But just then, the door opened further, and a cart came out, followed by a woman.
Oh, hi,
she said.
I was just finishing up.
Violet breathed a sigh of relief. It had just been the maid.
You can go ahead and go in, if you want. I just need to gather the rest of the supplies. Thanks.
Violet offered a smile to the maid and entered the room. As she made her way toward the bed, the maid followed into the room and grabbed a sheet off the floor. Violet could hear her flapping it around, trying to get it straight to fold. It was at the moment that Violet thought it odd to be folding a dirty sheet headed for the laundry that suddenly it was on her head.
Got you!
The maid called out triumphantly, and then Violet found her arms pinned at her sides and her feet lifted off the ground. The young girl started shouting and squirming, and the maid had to fight to just cover her mouth so no one else was alerted. Suddenly, the maid cried out in pain as she learned how ineffective sheets were at protecting from bites. Violet saw red appear on the sheet where she had chomped down on the woman's hand. Suddenly, Violet was back on the ground, and it took a few moments to get untangled from the sheet. By the time she could see the room again, the woman was standing over her. Violet was ready with a Pokeball and launched it right into the woman's face. It popped open with a blast of light, and Evie appeared.
V, help! That woman is trying to kidnap me!
The pale-furred Pokemon looked a little confused and glanced casually behind himself. When he saw the maid, however, his fur bristled and V growled. The woman looked nervous and even took a step back, but she wasn't fast enough to avoid the Evie launching itself as he tried to add to Violet's previous bite. While V had the woman distracted, Violet picked up the Pokeball and rushed for the exit, waiting to return the Eevee until she was almost out the door. But before she could, the light from the hall was suddenly gone. A large man had just stepped in front of the doorway, and he grinned at the girl running toward him. Violet quickly skidded to a stop and began to run the other way, back toward the woman who had just tossed V off of her and into the air. In quick succession, Violet collected V back into its ball and with her other hand pointed another ball toward the window. A Spearow soared out and shattered right through the glass, and Violet leapt right out after it. to be continued.